Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important people here today. So glad they could make it because it was, Michelle, it's kind of an all-call-out kind of day for CDOT.
It definitely is an all-hands-on-deck kind of day, but
I
had to bring my peeps with me.
Yes, and you brought important peeps. So yes. Michelle Pulin, good morning, my dear. Brad Bauer, who's CDOT Maintenance Supervisor for El Paso County. Hi, Brad.
Hello.
And Robert Madrid, who is the Deputy Superintendent. Hi, Robert.
Good morning.
Here you thought you were just being a ride this morning.
That's okay.
I'm so glad you guys are here today. Perfect timing, right, you guys, with this weather. See, the last time we had to reschedule.
Yes, and I promised you a snowstorm then.
And then you promised one today.
I did. So
thank you so much, Michelle.
Back in November, I think I promised this. So if you need snow, you let me know. I can make things happen.
We appreciate it. And it's perfect timing, you guys. So let's talk about how CDOT, the state, of course, handles winter roads and storms. And there's so much to learn and so much to understand, isn't there, Brad?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of pre-planning. We watch the weather and get prepared to get out there and plow the roads.
Now, as far as you and Robert, your guys' area, how far is your area go? Like, how far does this extend?
So I pretty much have all state highways here in El Paso County.
Okay. And Robert, you oversee everything?
I oversee the Colorado Springs area, which is King area, and the Fairplay area, which is Robert area.
Oh, that's awesome.
Park County, Taylor County, all those areas.
Just a small portion.
Just a small portion.
Just a little bit.
Just worse than a little bit.
So what goes into the planning process? Obviously, you track the storms, try to see, because we were talking about this before you guys came on. It's hard sometimes, isn't it, knowing how the storms are going to line up and what's going to happen.
Right, exactly. You know, we try to get as much information gathered up as we can. We're looking at the weather. We're watching it, paying attention. Trying to determine if we're going to go on a full call-out shift. We were expecting this storm today actually to come in a little bit earlier than it did. So we were kind of shocked when
kind
it came in later.
Kind of geared up and ready to go.
We were geared up, ready to go, and nothing happened. So, yeah. We watch the weather, and we've become like junior meteorologists here in the wintertime.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
Yeah, we tried it.
And then what determines, obviously, a full call-out? So, a storm like this, obviously,
absolutely,
right, is
yes.
a full call-out storm.
Yes.
And what does it depends on the area for how many plows or vehicles head out, right, for
right.
full call-out? So what would be a full call-out for El Paso County?
So just for CDOT, a full call-out here in El Paso County is about 20 to 23 plows, and that's a 12-hour shift, and the day shift and then a night shift.
Wow. Okay. And you said how long were the shifts again?
They're 12 hours.
Wow. So that means the plow drivers are taking 12-hour shifts.
Right.
And then they go and rest and go back out if they have to?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. We come out at 4 o'clock in the morning. They work till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and because we like to have fresh eyes on the rush hours. And things work out great. Hopefully they go home and get some sleep and get back out there for the afternoon.
Now, how many miles can an average CDOT snowplow, since you're mostly doing highways, I would imagine they could cover a lot of miles.
You know, it really just depends on the snowstorm. If it's a big event and they're only going 15 miles an hour, they don't get a whole lot of miles. But on average, they get about 200, 250, somewhere in there, sometimes 300 miles a 12-hour shift.
That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. And then the one thing that we were talking about before, and we're going to talk about that process, but is pre-treating the roads. Like with a storm with this, was there pre-treating or was there too much moisture up front? I think folks need to understand because I'm sure you get a lot of questions all the time, right?
Sure.
Why didn't you pre-treat the roads?
Right.
How many calls do you get? Like, why didn't you pre-treat the roads?
Yeah, what's going on here?
What's going on?
We did pre-treat for this storm. It really just depends on the beginning of the storm. If we're expected to get rain changing over to snow, we usually won't pre-treat in that situation just because it's just wasting material.
Right.
The idea is we're really trying to get the brine on the road and let it dry to give us that little barrier. So when it starts snowing, it actually, kind of prevents it from sticking. So that's the whole focus of brine and pre-treating.
And of course, this time, like you said, this storm was a little bit delayed. So
right.
It helped with the pre-treat, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we pre-treated yesterday Saturday. I've got my days mixed up. But we pre-treated Saturday in preparation for the storm.
Now, we were talking a couple about the storm. I don't think it was the last storm before. not the last storm, but the storm before, there was no way to pre-treat, was there, for that storm? Because it rained first, right?
Yes.
And then it was a really heavy snow. And then I'm sure, and then I'm guilty. Sorry, Michelle, don't give me that look.
Sorry.
I'm guilty. I'm one of them who's like, why didn't they? It just couldn't, like you explained.
Right.
Well, yeah. And one of the cool things that I just find fascinating about brine is there actually is a residue that sticks around. So sometimes we'll have residual from the previous storm, and especially that particular storm around Thanksgiving that you're referring to.
Yeah, you know
we just
storm
got hit back to back.
Yeah.
Luckily, there was some residue on the road. So that also helped us, and that's a cost savings too, because if we've got that residual from the previous storm.
Right. Yeah, then it helps, absolutely. Yeah. Now, does the state, I would assume the state works kind of in conjunction with the county, right? And possibly the city? Or, I mean, is everybody kind of communicating together, the different cities, the different towns?
Yes and no. Okay. You know, for the most part, you know, the state handles pretty much all the state highways. The city does their roads. There is some, you know, communication that goes on, and you know, we try to help them out, you know, occasionally, but not too often. We pretty much stick with our stuff and they stick with their stuff.
So. Yeah. Is there overlap though?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
Here and there.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, we do need to take a break. I think we should play when we get back. What do you think, Michelle? The top questions asked.
Oh, we could do that.
Yeah, you guys think that's a good idea?
Absolutely.
You guys get questions all the time, I'm sure.
Yes.
Like, how come you haven't been here yet?
Right.
Right?
That's
okay.
A good one.
We'll have more with Robert Madrid, Brad Bauer, Michelle Pulin from CDOT next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. So excited to be talking from CDOT with Michelle Pulin. Hello, Michelle Pulin.
Boop, good morning.
Hello. Woo-woo. Brad Bauer, CDOT Maintenance Supervisor for El Paso County. Hello, Brad.
Hello.
And Robert Madrid, who is the Deputy Superintendent. Hello, Robert.
Morning.
So I thank you guys so much for coming in. We were kind of wondering if it was going to happen today because, of course, it's all hands on deck kind of a day. But
definitely
I'm so glad you guys
is.
Could make it in. So much important stuff to talk about with winter and the roads. So I think we should play a round. We might have to play two of top questions for CDOT.
Okay.
Do you like that?
Let's do it.
Do we get a buzzer and bonus points if we answer correctly?
Well, no. we could. Should we do like a, did you answer correct? Like I would know.
So who's judging?
Josh the intern.
Yeah. Josh the intern.
You ready? Okay, he's all set. Josh the intern is here as well. Okay, so let's start with, do these kind of go hand in hand? I was quickly trying to write down some of the top questions you guys get. And I think these kind of go hand in hand. Brad, you can tell me if I'm wrong. Why haven't you been here yet? Or why haven't I seen a plow in 12 hours? That, do those kind of go hand in hand?
Yes, yeah, okay. Those really go hand in hand. A lot of people, we have a lot of roads to cover, and having 20 guys out on the road, at any given time, it's pretty tough to see them. Even sometimes I drive down the road and go, wow, how come I haven't seen a plow in 15 or 20 minutes? They are out there and, we're doing our job and you can tell just by the roads and the condition of them.
Yeah. So that's why, but again, you have hundreds of miles to cover.
Right. Hundreds
of
miles.
And we prioritize.
Right.
Right. Absolutely. Prioritize, you know, interstate, you know, kind of takes priority because that's the main line here through Southern Colorado. And then from there, it goes out from there. So
absolutely.
24. And
there you go. So that hopefully helps. Once you get yours in, then you may go back.
Right. Exactly.
So that's maybe why you haven't seen. Okay. Robert, you were saying one of the top questions you get is, and I know a lot of people have asked this, I'm sure for years now.
Yes.
If my car gets splashed with the, say, salt brine solution, or what's the other stuff called?
Apex.
It's going to hurt my car, right? It's going to hurt my car.
Yes.
Is that one of
yes.
the top questions
That's
you
one
get?
Of the top questions of the top calls we get. And it's not going to hurt your car. It does have an inhibitor in it, so it doesn't rust it. So just get to the car wash when you get a chance, and it'll be fine. And it's not going to hurt your car at all.
You know what? There's enough moisture in the snow, it might help too.
That's true.
No. So it's not going to hurt your car.
No.
Now, in my brain, tell me if I'm wrong, Robert, but is it the same solution as your, because I always heard years and years and years ago, oh my gosh, it is going to rust out the bottom of your car. But really, here in Colorado, we don't have much problem with rust.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
No, the inhibitors in it pretty much stop the rusting process quite a bit.
Okay.
So. Unless you leave it on your car for a year, you may get some rust. But
why are you looking at me like that, Robert? Because I just don't want. No, I'm kidding.
Well, and our vehicles don't have as much metal as they used to.
Absolutely.
And it's tough to rust fiberglass and plastic.
Yeah. So. That's true.
So, yeah, as long as you wash after the storm, whenever you get a chance, just get to get a car wash and get it.
And take it the undercarriage wash, right? Yes. So don't worry, not to panic.
Okay. But make sure the windows are clean. Because it can leave a residue on your windshield and your windows. So those you want to make sure you get cleaned.
And wash your solvent. Absolutely.
Yeah. During a storm, if there's a storm coming, make sure you fill up your reservoirs because you're going to need it on the interstate especially.
Absolutely. Yeah, that splashback.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and here's another. In fact, I was like, well, listen to that. I'm sure you get this call a lot, right? Difference between who wants to take this one? Difference between pre-treating and de-icing, like right now they're de-icing, right? The crews are out de-icing right now.
Right.
So is it obviously different solutions or different materials are used and between pre-treating it? Help everybody out.
Sure. So we use brine primarily for pre-treating. We also call that anti-icing, where we're trying to just put a barrier of liquid de-icer between the snow and the asphalt surface. So eventually, though, it's going to dilute. It's going to pack up like this morning. And so now we then move into de-icing operations. So we're now applying a little bit different solution, a low temperature magnesium chloride.
I was going to say, you're going to have to expand on that.
Right. Yeah. A little bit.
Expand on that.
So, you know, it basically works down to lower temperatures. And it actually, kind of breaks it from the top of the ice to where we have our other layer. So hopefully it just plows off a lot easier.
So obviously you have the crews. Is it all like once you pre-treat, and you guys can of course answer this, once you pre-treat and then plows go immediately out to try and keep the snow off the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then obviously they're part of the de-icing process and clearing the roads,
right?
Right. So it's just a nonstop, I'm just trying to process everything in my head.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. We're just making loops. So, you know, we load up with no more material. We go back out there. We do some more treating where we need to. We plow off the stuff that we, the snow and the slush and everything that hopefully is there, and try to clean up the roads as best we can.
Okay, perfect. Did that make sense? Because I could tell my brain was like, is this making sense? The question I'm asking. So how long can it do you decide for crews to stay out after a storm? Until
there's bare pavement.
There's bare pavement.
Yes,
okay.
We won't get off the road until the pavement is bare. And it's safe to drive on.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, because some might go. It's one of the questions you guys get is, there's still ice on my road. Do you get that question? Sometimes?
Once in a while.
Yeah.
We're pretty good at getting it off.
Yeah.
And folks don't know the difference. And we're happy to direct them in the right place. But, we don't do the residential streets.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's tough for folks to remember. And the other thing that we hear quite a bit, and in the last storm we heard is, there is still ice on the road. Well, Mother Nature is a big partner of ours.
Yeah.
So we do need that sunshine. Even in cold temperatures, sunshine makes a big difference for us.
Right.
And we don't put the word out there lightly when we ask folks to stay off the road. But when we do, it's not a if you could. I mean, we really, really are encouraging you to stay off the road. And it's for your safety primarily. But the second thing is that the fewer cars that are on the road,
the faster
the easier
crews can go in.
Job they have of clearing
yeah.
the road. And if we have backups and, roads that are, closed with congestion, our snowplows are in that congestion too.
And they can't do their job, right?
No, they can't get through. So.
And you guys usually send out like, okay, we're already warning you, like say 24 up, right?
Right.
Or I-25, say through the gap, I'm just picking random,
mm-hmm.
We 24 east or...
use our variable message boards to start letting you know that we're expecting a storm days in advance. And hopefully that will flag you to prepare. And if you absolutely have to travel, the things that we're recommending are emergency kits and extra time.
Right.
And know before you go. That's our big one. Don't just plan for what the day looks like on your driveway and outside your house, but where you're going.
Absolutely.
You need to be aware of what roads are like where you're headed.
Okay, we do have to take a quick news break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about one of the top questions that they get. And that is, why do I have to bow to the plow?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that when we come back with Robert Madrid, Brad Bauer, Michelle Pulin from CDOT on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Excited to be talking with CDOT today. So glad everybody could make it in. We were kind of wondering there because you guys were on full call out.
Touch and go.
Touch and go there for a minute. But I'm so glad you guys are here. Michelle Pulin is here. Hello, Michelle.
Good morning, Miss Renee.
It's great to see you. And Robert Madrid, who's the deputy superintendent, is here. Hello, Robert.
Good morning.
And Brad Bauer, who's the maintenance supervisor for El Paso County, is here. Good morning.
And good morning.
So we before the break, we were talking about some of the biggest questions that you, biggest, most frequent questions that you guys get. And we saved the best for last. And that is, why do I have to bow to the plow, right? Why is it not safe to pass a plow? And this actually can be broken up into a lot of different parts and pieces, can it?
Mm-hmm. You betcha.
So first let's talk about, and I did not realize this, and Michelle brought up a very good point in the break. So don't laugh. I was waving hi at all the plow drivers this morning saying thank you. On my way in this morning.
Cool.
But you know what? It's like, thank you. I can get to work because of you. So I was waving at everybody. Yes. But people don't realize it's like a full-on cockpit inside of a plow, right?
Right.
So kind of walk me through, Robert and Brad, what it is like for a driver inside of a plow. First, we're talking from pre-training, right, to plowing, to de-icing. Again, it's an entire cockpit that they have a lot they have to do.
Right. So, you know, these trucks, technology is taking off, as everybody knows, and it's that way with plow trucks. There's a couple different screens that they look at. They've got application screens that kind of gives them a suggestion on what kind of product they should put down at what rate. Then there's another screen that actually controls the computer that puts that product down, either liquid or granular. So there's a lot going on in that plow, needless to mention the traffic that's all around them as well.
So, and that's completely, and Robert, like you were saying, like you and Brad were saying in the break, like that plow driver, that truck are all calculating, just like we were mentioning, okay, the wind speed, the temperature, so that driver has to pay attention at all times to not only, like you just mentioned, Brad, the traffic around them, but what they have to do in that truck at that exact moment.
Exactly. If the wind's blowing 50 miles an hour on Highway 24, odds are we're not going to put anything down.
Right.
We're just trying to keep the road open.
Right. So there's a lot that the driver is dealing with at that time.
Yes.
Which is crazy. I had no idea it was that. I just thought, I'm sure I'm like a lot of people, you just push a button, there you go.
Right.
That's not the case.
Right. They, you know, they get updated weather, you know, things like that they can look at and see what's going to be coming. They're constantly, you know, bombarded with information and things like that that's happening on the road.
All the time. From pre-treat to de-icing.
Yes.
Everything's always going. Okay, let's talk about exactly when they are plowing and what is that called when they're, say you're going up I-25. I'm just using I-25 as an example.
Sure.
And there's three plows in a row.
Mm-hmm.
What is that called?
That's echelon plowing.
Echelon plowing. And what is the purpose of echelon plowing?
So the purpose of echelon plowing is to remove as much material or snow off the road as we can in one shot and, you know, put down product behind. It's kind of, we don't do it usually unless we're cleaning up. That's when we get a real heavy snow when we just kind of put two trucks together and just have them just keep a hole punch through the road. We pretty much just, we run them like that just a lot for cleaning up.
And of course you never want to pass really a plow, even if they're by themselves, right?
Right.
Give them the room. They need to do what they need to do. And again, I think we kind of explained why, but especially when they're echelon plowing.
Right.
That's extremely dangerous, isn't it?
Oh, it can be. Yeah. They're moving a lot of snow. You know, if they're pulling a wall or something like through downtown Colorado Springs, they're moving, you know, foot 18 inches of snow across the road. That's a lot of snow that people can get into and get boogered up and crash.
Now, what is that extended? It's a blade, right? An extended blade. And if you don't, it's hard to see that. What is that?
A toe plow.
The toe plow.
We got a toe plow and a wing plow.
Okay. So what's explain the difference so folks understand. Are they the same thing, a toe plow and a wing plow?
No. So a toe plow is actually mounted on a trailer.
Okay.
It's 24 feet long. So it actually moves a lot of material. That truck
and that's
and
behind
that trailer,
the
right. That's behind the truck. Mm-hmm. That actually takes the place of like 2.5 trucks.
Does it really? So, the tow plow does.
Right. It's a really a cost-effective way for us to move snow. Then we just have a regular patrol wing on a lot of our trucks. It's about a truck and a quarter, truck and a half.
But that's the extra the wide
that's
one.
That's just
that comes
a wing,
out.
Right? That sticks out. So, yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
But a lot of people, you can't see that, like say the wing, right?
Yeah, especially if the snow's blowing around the truck, you're not going to see that wing. So if you try to pass on the right, it's possible you might hit the wing.
Might hit the wing. Yeah, because it might be hard to see.
Yes.
Thus, out of the plow.
Right. And folks get confused, especially when they see the tow plow and they think that maybe either number one, it's two trucks and not one and I can squeeze between them. Or number two, they think the truck is jackknifing. Because
the
trailer,
the tow plow.
When it deploys, right. Yes. It goes to the side and covers that other lane.
Okay. Remember when we got those phone calls when we first deployed it? They were like, oh my God,
there's
a truck jackknifing down to Monument Hill. And we're like, no, it's supposed to do that.
So is that usually something you, like on I-25 or 24 going up and... Is the tow plow?
Mostly I-25 is right now, and Highway 50 is where we have them deployed.
Okay, for the tow plows. Mm-hmm. So I guess I've never seen it. When did you guys start using the tow plow?
Oh, 3 years ago?
Yeah, about 3 years ago. And it's really cool technology, but you know, once again, there's a lot going on in that truck for that driver.
Of course.
So trying to watch all that and trying to keep that plow out there. There's a lot out there going on. So
what is a safe distance for a driver to give the plow? Because not only, again, say they... Whether they have a tow plow on or not, mm-hmm. What is a good safe distance to give a plow driver?
You know,
because they're also putting, like you're saying, they're putting down
products
as well, right?
So, you know, I think a good rule of thumb is anywhere behind the plow. I don't know what the distance would be. You know, 50, 100 feet, I don't know what that would be, but behind the plow is a lot better than trying to go around it or get in front of it.
And I remember this happened a few years ago, wasn't it? A couple of years ago, Michelle, and they caught it, but some driver trying to get through an echelon, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Oh.
The safest place you can be is behind a plow.
Yeah.
Consider that you are being personally escorted.
Right.
Down the highway.
Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. Yeah.
And so stay behind the plow and know that you're in the safest place you can be.
And isn't there now, you were talking about there might be some upcoming changes as far as passing plow, stuff like that in the laws. Is that right?
So in September, Governor Polis did pass a law that says it's illegal to pass plows when they're in the echelon formation.
Okay. So do not pass when they're two or three wide.
You can definitely get a ticket, but you'd be lucky to get a ticket and not get hurt or hurt someone else.
And is this on just state roads? State roads. Okay. So if you're trying to get from here to, say, Denver, don't be passing.
No. Enjoy the personal escort.
Personal escort. I love it.
Along the interstate, behind the plow, the safest place you can be.
Well, I think we've helped explain why you have to bow to the plow.
Yes.
Bow to the plow. Any other big tips so people understand what's happening?
Plows are part of the move over law. Mm-hmm. Our crews with the blue and orange flashing lights are just the same as emergency responders.
So, yes.
So move over for them.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay.
I was just going to say a slower speed is always better. Stay behind the plow, you know, as far as you can because we're always dropping material and liquids. So, you know, a couple hundred feet behind us is fine.
Perfect. And just bow to the plow.
Bow to the plow.
Now that everybody understands, you know, if you guys haven't done it, I think you should take a picture of the cockpit of one of the plows so people can kind of understand, like.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, take a picture so people understand, like, here's exactly what's happening inside of this while they are clearing the roads for you. Okay, we have to take a break. We'll be back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. So excited to be talking with CDOT today. So glad you guys could come in. Look, the sun is out. That's going to help you guys.
Absolutely. Wonderful. We're sure happy to be here.
Brad Bauer, Robert Madrid, Michelle Pulin from CDOT are here. Okay, any other quick tips that everybody needs to know as we head into the hall? And Michelle, we're going to talk about avalanche mitigation that is going on. The big warning has been sent out to lots of folks. But any other big tips for folks? Everybody's getting ready to travel this holiday season that you guys would like to give.
Yeah, probably the biggest thing I would say is just, you know, be prepared. You know, the weather's coming, you know, watch the weather, be prepared for when you get out on the road. you know, and like Michelle said earlier, you know, look at where you're going and see what the weather's doing there. But really be prepared for anything, you know, because Mother Nature gets the best of us sometimes.
Absolutely.
And we just want you guys ready.
And plan your trip. I mean, the CDOT website is full of information.
Yeah.
Yeah. COTRIP.org. CoTrip.org.
You know, and if you're going to travel up in the mountains, plan for your trip.
Yeah.
You know, alternate routes, where can you get back? And just be safe out there.
Absolutely.
Don't get in a hurry. Be safe when you're going across the passes. And just watch our plows.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest thing. We're trying to keep you safe. We want to keep your family safe. That's our job.
Well, and I think today, and as I said, I think there's a perception out there that you guys just drop a blade and jump some. They have no concept. Hopefully this helped help them understand exactly what's happening in that plow. It's an entire cockpit. Right. With a lot of stuff going on. So hopefully that helps people understand why you bow to the plow and what exactly the process is that's going on. I know now I'll be bowing to all the plows.
And you know, a nice wave would be nice too.
I was waving this morning. Just, hi.
Thank you.
Yes,
appreciate
thank
it.
You. Absolutely.
We're out here at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. Was that you I saw this morning?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Brad. No, I'm kidding. It's all good. So I was wave at the plow drivers. I was waving at them this morning. So Michelle, let's do talk about really quick. Had to already do some avalanche mitigation this past weekend. We know the high country has been dumped on.
Yes.
I mean, it was like what, start kind of Thursday and go through.
Yeah. We've had some heavy accumulations on our mountain passes. So we have seen closures on US 550, okay. US 50, I-70, for avalanche mitigation.
Okay.
So,
and there's more expected, possibly.
Absolutely. You definitely need to be prepared for that. And like Robert was saying, mountain travel, I mean, we are so blessed to have this mountain playground in our backyard.
Oh, we are.
And the kicker that comes with that, though, is you have to be prepared. And it's not as easy as just taking a county road and knowing the back roads. That can get you into trouble.
Right.
Listening to your Waze or Google Maps can also get you into trouble because they may want you to take county roads. We ask that you not do that.
Or take you someplace that there's actually no road. We've seen,
we've seen that happen. Yeah. And we've seen people stuck in mud and snow. And
go in and pull them out.
Yeah. So don't do that. But prepare yourself. Have an emergency kit. You may think that you're doing a quick trip up to the ski resorts, but just in case that quick trip is not as quick as planned, have that emergency kit. Be prepared to spend 24 hours in your car. What do I need with me to spend 24 hours in my car if nobody's available to come help me?
And you guys may be like, no, Renee, you're not. Last year, I thought was one of the worst avalanche seasons in a long time in the high country.
Yeah, it was historic avalanche activity.
I mean, how many highways were shut? I mean, I-70 alone, how many times was that shut down because of avalanche activity and having to clear that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We had avalanche paths that were running last year that haven't run since the 70s.
Wow.
So it was historic.
Yeah.
And are we in for that again this year?
Could be.
Don't know. So, but be prepared to be sitting in that. So do you have medications in your car?
Yeah.
If you're going to be transporting pets, do you have food and water for your pet? Do you have activities for your children? Do you have warm clothes? Do you have blankets? Do you have a flashlight? Do you have a shovel? Do you have kitty litter? A full tank of gas.
Yeah, full tank. Yes.
Think about what you will need to spend that extra time in your car, because with avalanche, with crashes, with more and more people going to the high country, it's more and more of a possibility.
Absolutely.
You're better off to be prepared than in your car than not.
Yeah.
Have it and don't need it.
Yeah.
And if you do get stuck, you know, in an event, you know, just stay calm because we're going to come and get you.
Right.
You know, we're not going to stop. We're going to work through this whole thing. We will rescue you. We'll take you to a safe place. We're always going to be working to get you.
And I think the best tip, too, is stay where you're at, right?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't
yes,
leave your
please
car.
Don't leave your car. Stay in your car, you know, and we will get to you.
Okay.
Especially in an avalanche situation.
Yep. Okay.
Because chances are there might be more snow coming down. So don't get out of your car and walk around and take pictures. We saw a lot of that last year. There could be more snow coming down, and we sure as heck don't want to have that type of rescue situation.
Absolutely. And just, again, be prepared. Like you said, don't know if this year's avalanche is going to be as bad as last year, but last year was crazy.
Yes.
So, okay, unfortunately, we ran out of time for a gap update, but you can go to the website.
Most definitely. And check out the website. Yeah. Sign up for alerts. That's another thing to be prepared for. Yes. Go to our website.
Sign up for alerts.
Not only the gap, but you can sign up for alerts for anywhere in the state, and it can give you weather alerts as well as what roads are closed and what conditions are like.
And hopefully you guys, all this info was helpful. Thank you so much for you guys. I'm so glad we guys made it in. I'm so glad.
Yeah. Our pleasure.
Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Everybody has a happy holiday.
Yes. Thank you so
Safe
much.
Travels.
Happy holiday. Yes.
Safe travels.
Thank you so much. Michelle Pulin, Brad Bauer, Robert Madrid from CDOT. Coming up tomorrow on The Extra, Catherine Hammond, Hammond Law Group will be here. That's tomorrow on KRDO News Radio.